吧。
What a song. Two great originals from Fat Man D, along with Carlos Pena. And you can hear the two of them, plus drums and bass, at Jazz Travaganza, Con Alma, February 12th. And then Mr. Smalls, Bash Stravaganza, a benefit for community care and resistance on February 15th. It's a Fat Man D extravaganza.
Yeah, I think I forgot some of the other entertainers on that gig too. We're gonna have Esai, my student Esai, my student Windfire, Big Just, DJ Conti Casa, my buddy Dan Wasson's gonna come play with us for the jazz set. It's gonna be great. So that's the Bash Extravaganza on 15th, and then my birthday proper on the 12th.
What about Carlos and Carol at the House of Hippies?
Yeah, Carlos went on to do something very responsible with her life and got a doctorate and is a well-paying job out of state. So hopefully I will play with her the next time she comes to town.
Resigned as a hippie to do responsible things. I'm going to keep working on this.
I think you can be a hippie and do responsible things.
You can.
I think it's the same. Look at you.
Yes, you can do responsible things. I just needed an R word. Thank you to both of you, and hope to see you soon.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You've got a real treat. I'm looking at the group setting up outside the studio right now. You are in for a brassy good time.
And that is a student-run brass band. They organize, self-organized, and so they've got it all.
I can't wait to hear their breath support and embouchure.
Yes, they're ready. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square with thanks to Fat Man D, fatmandmusic.com, and Carlos Pena, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIU PFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, MountainStreamsRadio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio. Brass band is tuning up the spit valves. I'm going to be careful not to say spitfire, spit valves. They're going to do three songs altogether. Let me see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 musicians all together performing. And we're getting them set up and ready to go. And I can't wait. We've got some supportive parents here as well. And they'll be with us in a few moments here at the Saturday Light Brigade.
Heart for me. There's danger of me losing all of my happiness, for I love a girl who doesn't know I exist, and this you can fix. So Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart. Nobody but me. Cupid, please hear my cry and let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me. Now Cupid, if your arrow make a love storm for me, I promise I will love her until eternity. I know between the two of us a heart we can steal. Help me if you will. Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart for me. Nobody but me. Cupid, please hear my cry and let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me. Now Cupid,
Colin Molloy and a song I think you probably recognize. Oh, they're ready. It sounds like our band is about ready. Chad is fast. Chad Green, our technical director here, along with Ella Storm, getting things set up. Todd Chorosky is here as well. And the birthday girl, I saw her somewhere, Alexa Bosick's birthday was yesterday. I didn't get a chance to wish her a happy birthday, but she's here too. So this is a student-run brass band. They're North Hills High School students. You'll get to meet all of them, but we've got about a dozen musicians, and instruments include bass trombone, varieties of saxophones, a euphonium, a trumpet, a flugelhorn, bass, and drums. You'll get to hear them all throughout this next segment. Join me as we welcome the Spit Valves. We'll be right back. You've got the Spit Valve band. There are 12 musicians here. They're playing live on the radio. I want you to meet some of them. That song, I want you to meet all of them, but we'll do a few at a time. That song is called Chameleon. Who had the trumpet solo on that? All three of you all took a turn because I was looking away as you were playing. So let's meet the trumpet section. There are three of them. You can tell me anything you'd like, maybe your name, age, if you have any shout-outs, go ahead.
My name's Liv Miller. I'm 17 years old. I'm a senior at North Hills High School. My shout-out is to the trumpet section of the Spit Valves, because they're the best, so.
And if you tell me that you are a senior, I want you to tell me if you know what you're going to be doing this fall.
Yeah, I'm going to be attending Ohio University for urban planning and sustainability.
Thank you for letting me know. And what's your name?
My name is Liam Cunningham. I am 18 years old. I'm a senior at North Hills High School. And I want to give a shout out to the parents and all the Spit Valves.
Excellent. Do you know what fall has in store for you?
I want to go to school for music education.
Excellent. Nice to meet you. And the last of our three trumpeters.
My name is Ryan Quilkey. I'm 16, and I'm a junior at North Hills High School.
And you're a man. Are you recording or tuning?
That is a tuner.
I just realized that. I was going to say, this guy's, he's running a recorder on his phone, but as soon as we started talking, I realized it's tuning. Yeah. That's going to be really helpful to do that. In fact, I've never seen anybody. How does that work?
Well, it tells you if you're sharp or flat or in tune. We're looking for in tune, though, so.
Yep. That would be a good thing to do. Nice to meet you. And let's meet the sax players, and then I think we'll talk to all the saxes, and then we'll talk to the rest of you after the next song. Hello.
Hi. My name's Linnea Pullen. I'm 16, and I'm a junior at North Hills. And my shout is to my parents who drove me here, and they're really great. So.
Great. And by the way, if you're listening, maybe a family member listening at home or a faculty member or a friend, you can text us at 412-200-5975. And I'll relay your text after the next song, 412-200-5975. Hello.
Hi, I'm Zoe Deneen. I'm a senior at North Hills High School, and I'm 17 years old.
And you get the question, you get the what's next in life question.
Yeah, I am going to go to Alvernia University for criminal justice and psychology.
Where is Alvernia?
It's in Reading. So that,
yeah, that's one I don't know. Well, congratulations on that. And here is somebody else.
Hi, I'm Ava Dubinsky. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a senior at North Hills High School.
And by the way, these are the saxophones. I should have introduced you better. Now, you have a baritone sax, right?
I play tenor.
Oh, tenor. And what are these?
Those are the altos.
Okay, and the baritone is next to you. I should be able to tell these things. What are you going to do after you graduate?
I'm going to go to Michigan State University, major in plant science.
Excellent. Nice to meet you. Any shout-outs?
My parents. They're super cool.
How nice. A ringing endorsement. And finally, our baritone sax player.
Hi, I'm Sally Dubay. I'm 16, and I'm a junior at North Hills High School. And I just want to give a shout-out to all the Spitvops here. We've really grown close together playing music, so, and it's really great.
Excellent. Well, they sound great, don't they? The Spit Valves is the name of the band. All of these students have a relationship with North Hills High School, but this is their own thing. They formed this band, they manage it, and decide where they're going to play and what they're going to play. The next song is going to feature our euphonium player, who I'll have you meet after the song plays. It's interesting, we were talking about the song early this morning and the movie in which it came to fame, the first movie directed by Clint Eastwood called Play Misty for Me. I'm assuming it's the same song. Here again, the Spit Valves at the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you. The Spitfires. Yes, you should clap. There is, are enough people here by all means. I should have said that for the last song. Let's meet the euphoniumist.
I don't know.
You could be all those things. Euphoniumologist, maybe.
Oh,
tell me your name and a little bit more about you.
Yeah, my name's Jill, and I am a senior at North Hills High School. I'm 17 years old. And I am going to Ohio University for energy engineering. And my shout out is my, or the Spit Valves' biggest fan, Arch Miller, my grandpap. So,
excellent. So we have two Ohio University bound students here, at least two. And energy engineering is new to me. That is a perfect field, as I think about it, to have going. I'm curious how you and the you and the euphonium came to be.
Yeah, so I wanted to play the biggest instrument in fourth grade, and I couldn't play the tuba because it was a little too big. So I chose euphonium, and I tried to switch to tuba, but I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad my elementary teacher didn't let me do that because I love the euphonium. It's like the perfect mix of every beautiful brass instrument. So.
That was a great solo, and I think it takes a lot of courage. You really are, as with any solo, you're out there by your own, but getting the right tones out of a euphonium, it's just beautiful. It sounded terrific. We're going to meet the bass player, a couple trombones, and then the drummer, and then I have some messages for all of you. If you want to send us a text, you can do so at 412-200-5975. If you go to slbradio.org/radio, there's also an interact live box where you can just type in something to us. Hi, what's your name?
Chloe. I'm a senior at North Hills, and I'm going to study environmental science.
Excellent. Do you know where yet?
No, not yet.
It takes time to fit. This is around the time when you're still wondering. Any shout-outs?
Yeah, to Autumn Adamiak. She always fills in for us when we need her, and she's the best, so.
Excellent. That's our drummer, right? Let's go right to her, and then we'll go to the saxophonist. Now, you're a ringer. You already, you graduated from high school, but you're still a part of the band, the Spit Valves. What are you up to these days?
I'm actually a carpenter. I have my own business, so that's kind of what I do, finish carpentry.
Excellent. I may want to talk with you. I'll bet. Are you busier than ever?
Yeah, definitely.
They're hard to find, people that can do what you do. How did you acquire the skills to do that?
I actually went to A.W. Beatty Career Center, which is for, I think, Allegheny County, for 3 years. And through them, I was able to find a part-time job in high school and then worked with them full-time until I moved on to my own thing.
That's fantastic. Do you know the origin story of the band, how you all came together? I'm asking you as an elder statesperson.
I'm not entirely sure how it started. I'm here filling in, actually, for the other drummer. But
can anybody tell me how the band got together? Everybody is pointing. Everybody's pointing. And how did the band all come together? This is Liv, right?
Yeah. So in the summer of 2023, me and Ava Dubinsky, our tenor player, we're like, oh, we want to have a band, and we've been wanting to do this, like, you know, a jazz band of some sort to keep music in our life after high school. And we chose all of these people to join us, and it's gotten bigger. Like, Jill and Chloe, we added Chloe probably 3 months in, and then Jill came in a little later, but it's just a perfect fit for everyone here. It's been really cool to get to know everyone. Like, we barely really knew a lot of each other before this came to be, so it's been many friendships, a big family in the making, so.
And you choose all of your own gigs and manage the band as a group. This is not, some high schools have jazz bands. and the other, I don't know if North Hills has a jazz band.
Yeah, so North Hills has four different concert bands, a marching band, and a jazz band, a couple different jazz bands. But most of us are in the jazz one at North Hills High School. But some of us, we're all in marching band. That's how we all met, really. And we kind of came together from that, so.
Great. Thank you for explaining that. Now off we go to meet the trombone players. I don't think we've ever had a bass trombone that I can recall. So that's you. I can tell it's a bass trombone. I'll let you introduce yourself. Tell us a bit about you.
I'm Caleb. I'm 15 years old. I'm a sophomore at North Hills High School. I play bass trombone. I just was going to shout out Aiden. I've known him since preschool, and he just kind of pushes me to be my best.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I saw the little fist bump there as I was walking my way over. What makes a bass trombone different besides its lower tone? Are there mechanical differences as well?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I don't know how it works. I just play it.
No, that's okay. It does look, I mean, the tubing is definitely wider and the bell is larger, and so you guys are playing complementary parts, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm staring at it. It's like a bright, shiny object that I shouldn't be staring at. Let's meet Aiden.
Hi, I'm Aiden. I'm 16 and I'm a sophomore at North Hills.
Nice to meet you. Any shout outs at all?
I'm shouting out Caleb because he's always been there for me. He's been my best friend since preschool.
Excellent. Any preschool stories? I won't do that. I like you've got a trombone shorty shirt on, who is a great human being. Now, let me share some texts with you. Liam arranged the tune you're going to hear in a moment. But let me, oh my goodness, there's a lot here to share with you. And let's see, great job, Spit Valves. We love you, the Rodinas. Anybody know the Rodinas? Smooth as always, Spit Valves. You are amazing human beings and deserve all the best. Love, Mama Hester. Mama Hester. And here are Will and Luke Pollen. Saying, hey, Spit Valves, we're so proud of you and you sound great. Thank you for sharing your musical talents with us over the radio. Mike from Mars says, I think the word is euphemism when we were talking about euphonia or euphone, all those things. Sounding great, Spit Valves. Glad you're trying to be in tune, Ryan. Love, Dad. That from our conversation earlier. Just a couple more here. Shout out to Ava, my little sister. I'm proud of you and everything you accomplish. I love you. And here is, I went to the first ever Spit Valves driveway concert and was blown away. Such a talented group of kids. I don't have the name on that, but I'm sure you probably know who that is. And those are all the ones I have. And there's no more time for you to know. I want to thank you all for being here. It's my last chance to talk with you on the radio. Did anybody want to say something or thank someone that you didn't get a chance to? Seeing none, we're going to listen to the next tune, which is called Creep. Here, once again, the Spit Valves.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's hear it. Nice to get that enthusiastic response. And there you have the Spitfire Band. You can learn more about them on Instagram. I said Spitfire, I meant Spit Valves. I hope I haven't done that too many times. It's an easy thing to do. At the Spit Valves is their Instagram. And Linktree/the Spit Valves is how you can find them there. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger. And this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings.
Let the drum roll out.
And the Beatty family, I hope you all can still hear me, the Beatty family writes to say we love the Spit Valves, Annie, Mike, Charlie, and Sean.
Strike up the band, for there is work to be done, to be done. There's a war to be won, to be won. Come, you son of a gun, take your stand. Fall in line, ye foe. Come along, let's go. Hey, leader, strike up.
And thank you to the Spit Valves. What a great performance. I put a little video of them up on our Facebook page so you could take a look at them. We now are going to continue our Youth Express segment with a segment in and of itself from our recent streaming justice program. We've every Martin Luther King Jr. Day for the past 12 plus years, we've arranged to have a live teen-hosted talk show on our web stream, and this year was no exception. And on January 20th, 2025, Persia Williams, a senior at Swickley Academy, Morgan McCrae, a senior at Oakland Catholic, Waylon Heikkinen, a seventh grader at Engomar Middle School, and Archer Drips, a seventh grader at Quaker Valley Middle School, got together to host this segment. It speaks for itself. If you didn't notice, they're all from different schools and really did not know each other very well until actually getting together to host this program. So here now, a segment from Streaming Justice.
Hello, everybody. I am Archer Drips, or just Archie. Next to me is Waylon and
Morgan
and Persei. So today we are going to be diving into the most pivotal moments in American history, the Civil Rights Movement. Over the next 4 seconds, we will explore its origins, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous I Have a Dream speech, its impact on Black lives, and how it continues to shape our world today.
We're going to chat today about the March on Washington speech, but we want to start with a little bit of background, like what led up to giving that speech and kind of like how we came to learn about civil rights, and then we'll look a little bit more into it. So,
okay. Yeah, that sounds like good.
Does anyone want to share like an example of a civil rights experience that they like particularly feel connected to or like enjoyed learning about?
You should probably start with the Rosa Parks thing.
So Rosa Parks, she got into a bus and she sat where the white people could sit in the front of the bus where they're known for just only white people because they had privileges. And she refused to stand up from that bus when there was back seats where they were perfectly fine for black people like her. She stood up for herself and stood up for civil rights and made a big movement.
And got arrested.
She made a big movement and started lots of protests, which ended up really helping segregation and civil rights.
She became the mother of the movement and had her name cemented in history.
I feel like another important event when we talk about civil rights is the Board versus Brown education case, where racial segregation in public schools were to be
separate but equal.
With the idea of separate equal, which I feel like that's important because it also introduces like another important figure with Ruby Bridges and like how she went to a all white school in New Orleans and they were like taunting her because she was African American in these all white institutions. So I feel like that's another important event, and it also like relates to our education now. I feel like that's important.
That's a big part of it. So I think about like the Brown Education Board, where a few people went up to this judge or court and said like, hey, this doesn't allow, and eventually they did make some changes for the better. that was really important.
I think that, like, when we're thinking about, like, Ruby Bridges and Rosa Parks, it's interesting to see, like, there's, like, a generational divide. Like, mm-hmm. Rosa Parks was obviously an older woman, but Ruby Bridges was very young and was kind of just starting out in her journey. But it is interesting to see, like, how the different generations felt so passionate about this issue. And, like, it did impact everyone in a different way. But it is cool to see, like, you know, how many women stood up and were a part of the movement, but just how many young people were also a part of something like this, which is also, like, similar to what we're doing today. Like, we're young people chatting about civil rights movement. I didn't learn about civil rights, like, as early as I thought I would have, but through, like, my personal research and doing things outside of school, I feel a lot more connected to it.
I learned about civil rights from, like, an early age. Like, in first grade, I did a project on, like, Ruby Bridges for, like, Black History Month. So I feel like all schools should have something incorporated for, like, civil rights. Like, I know last year, as being, like, president of my BSU, I was re-informing, like, the lower school students about, like, these important figures we have in Black history and how they shape Black history. So I feel like teaching little kids about Black history from an early age is good, because when they grow up, they're going to be able to recognize, like, oh yeah, I would learn this at a young age.
Do you remember, like, when you first started learning about, maybe, like, when you first heard about Martin Luther King's speeches and things like that?
Oh yeah, it was when I was, like, 4, I believe. There was just, like, this one time of my dad, and he got, like, a spiel about it. That was an experience for me.
I remember, obviously, you learn a lot about it in school, and as you develop in, you know, grades and stuff, you learn more and more about it. I remember recently learning about the Brown education case and how that affected some people, and obviously Rosa Parks.
I think, like Priscilla was saying, like, the different figures we learn about, like, even although we're, like, celebrating Martin Luther King today, I think the figures that we learn about in school are very different from, like, the amount of people who actually, like, were a part of the movement. So I think whenever we were talking a little earlier, we were talking about how many people were showing up to the speeches and how many people were really, like, involved in this. So it is super cool to see, like, young people become so educated about it, because the earlier it starts, I guess, like, the more you're able to dive deep into it and really do any further research. So I guess I want to ask the question, we're celebrating Martin Luther King Day. How do you feel about, like, the way we're doing it? Is learning about it just enough, or should we be doing a little bit more, or should we be doing a little less?
I feel that the Martin Luther King Day is a great day because it really celebrates and it puts his name out to, like, internationally to everybody and really recognizes what he does. And I feel how you learn about it in school also really puts that out there, so I think we're doing pretty good.
I love the fact that we have a day, just a day, to celebrate him and all his accomplishments that he helped to build, I would say, like, America in general, because as you know about Martin Luther King, like, he fought for Black Americans and other races to be connected instead of being divided. So I feel like that's important, because as we're in this society now where the idea of, like, social media also can, like, divide us based on our race. So I feel like this day is really important.
I agree completely. I think the amount of unity he had to his speeches and things really helped put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he must have been so brave to just go up on that stage and to just speak his feelings out.
It's definitely something that's difficult. I don't know if I can give a speech in front of, like, so many people. It did so much more good than it did bad. Like, it really brought so many people toward the movement.
Yeah, going back to, like, what your question, Morgan's question about when we first started learning, I feel like in my elementary school, we watch, like, days leading up to, like, Martin Luther King and, like, Black History Month. We always watch My Friend Martin. And, like, now thinking about it, like, when I'm, like, first grade, I'm just like, okay, well, why are we really watching this? Like, I already knew who Martin Luther King was from being exposed to him early on. But also, like, sitting there and watching his story made into, like, cartoons made for children, I feel like that's really good. And then even though it's, like, a little outdated, but children of, like, all races should, like, really sit down and watch that show and, like, watch other educational shows about Black history mm-hmm. in general, just not about Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like the month, Black History Month, is also good because it also helps us recognize and acknowledge these other leaders, Black leaders that helped America as well, just not, like, the surface mm-hmm. ones, like Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman. Like, there's others out there who also helped Black history.
Yeah, I agree. Those are some pretty important people, other than just Martin Luther King, who really helped develop those ideas.
It's really cool. It's really interesting that, like, they've developed it into a cartoon for young people. Do you remember anything? Like, I've never heard of My Friend Martin. Like, that sounds pretty good. I have, like, little nieces and nephews that I think that would really benefit them. Do you remember, like, I know you said you felt like, why am I watching this? But do you think it's really, like, made an impact on how you view social justice or how you view, like, the world now.
Yeah, definitely it does. Like, being exposed to, like, educational stuff and history like that really helped shape my view on, like, justice in a general sense. It's like our own people are, like, fighting against each other instead of, like, bringing each other together. Like, also another point, like, I remember I went to Atlanta where Martin Luther King was born. Like, visiting his museum at, like, a young age was, like, wow, it's amazing. So I feel like every child, not even, like, a child, like, every person should go to that museum. Every person should go and, like, actually, like, read the history. Also, with the museum in D.C., like, everybody should go and visit to actually see, like, our history and what, like, mm-hmm. we went through.
Those museums are a pretty important part because they really, like, show, like, what actually happened because those people really know a lot about that stuff.
Yeah, not mm-hmm. to mention, like, all, like, the historical, like, sit-ins, I believe, actually, like, they give me some other forms of nonviolence, freedom rides and marches and protests.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that, like, being able to, like, go into those spaces and just, like, celebrate one person is so cool. I would love to visit the Martin Luther King Museum. I've been to the Black History Museum up in D.C. I know we chatted earlier, like, if any of you have gone, but seeing how much history is there and how many little physical pieces of history can be put together and such, you couldn't even finish the entire museum. It was beautiful. But just seeing so many people coming together on one day to learn about Black history and learn about these things that may be controversial, you know, it brings back a little bit of hope in our society that people are interested in learning about the past. And I think it'll help them make, like, a more informed future, you know?
Back to Archie's point when he said, like, the sit-ins, like, I know at, and was it in Greensboro, they mm-hmm. had yeah. the sit-in. That's also part of history, like, with that city and then the school surrounding, like, the idea of, like, HBCUs, they also help promote, like, Black history and, like, what we fought to get our schools here just mainly for Black people so they can feel like they're safe and they have a space to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like marches, sit-ins, like, speeches also impact society now.
It's called this, like, the Freedom Rides of 1961. Black and white activists rode buses together into the segregated South to challenge non-enforcement of Supreme Court rulings. They faced brutal beatings and arrests, but refused to back down. Let's give some credit to them.
I really appreciate, like, how people who are involved in the civil rights movement, like Martin Luther King, really, like, focused on not making it violent and making it non-violent and really just using words to express their thoughts and feelings on the matter and how it really changed everybody's perspective on how to, like, change things.
Mm-hmm. Part of it was, like, a necessity. Like, we have to be non-violent so that people don't take this movement and make it something it isn't, which I do think really brought a lot more people into the movement that maybe felt hesitant at first. But I agree. I think, like, I want to say it was, like, Students for Nonviolent Protest or something like that. And there was an organization started around this time that really helped involve so many more people because their entire approach was nonviolent and using your words, your resources, whatever you can, whether it's even just, like, boycotting businesses, just to stand for what you believe in. And, you know, that idea of nonviolent protest is contested today, but I think it still works. And it works in most spaces, I think.
I think we discussed some really good parts on how civil rights developed until, you know, Martin Luther King gave the speech and how it was before then.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like another important part of history, don't get me wrong, there's, like, a lot of important events that happened in the past about, like, civil rights, but I think we also have to go back to the point of, like, slavery, like, and how that really, really impacted yeah. the civil rights movement because, you know, like, they were beaten, all types of things, and then, like, Harriet Tubman and what was her other, I think there's another one.
Sojourner.
Yes, her. Mm-hmm. They both really spoke up for slavery in general, fighting, saying, we shouldn't have this. So I feel like that's another important part of civil rights history. We yeah. have to also acknowledge
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And we definitely will get to that in our next segment when we actually get into the March on Washington and our thoughts on it. But for now, you're going to hear Phil Oakes, Freedom Riders.
Jackson, Mississippi is a mighty way.
Justice, a live webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, hosted by teens from the region at SLB Radio's Youth Media Center.
So the song you just heard was Freedom Riders by Phil Oakes. We left off talking about the idea of slavery, so we're just going to jump right back into that.
We left off talking about how, if we're going to talk about the civil rights movement, we do have to discuss the abolition of slavery and just, like, any people that came before Martin Luther King who really, like, set that path for him. And we also chatted about like I mentioned earlier, the amount of like women who were part of that post-abolition civil rights movement. But I mean, per se, I mentioned that, like, you know, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, there's still a significant amount of women and young people in those movements way before they might have even had the choice to be or even the access to be. So I do think it's very important to mention them.
So, like, another important figure in, like, that movement was Nat Turner. He fought, and was Frederick Douglass, like, they both fought for themselves and other black people to not be slaves anymore. I mean, like, that's really important. And then, like, I really appreciate how now there's, like, more movies and TV shows coming about slavery. Mm-hmm. And how this impact on slavery is now becoming a bigger picture within, like, the civil rights movement and now in today's society. So I feel like that's very important to go back to talk about slavery when we talk about civil rights movement.
And I think a lot of those things related to his speech, I Have a Dream speech that he did on August 28th, 1963. I think those are really part of it, of what he was trying to get across and how he's saying, like, another famous speech of his, like, We the People, they were both trying to say, like, we are all people, we are all the same, we should be treated equally. And I think he really tried to do that nonviolently, which he did. And I think it was a very good way of expressing his opinions and thoughts.
I agree completely. I think that, like, thinking about the speeches he was giving, he really tried to focus on unity and, like, teaching people that, like, we have to be together and we all have to work together regardless of race to achieve these civil rights and, like, you know, do it by nonviolent means. You know, like, we mentioned Frederick Douglass, who wrote and was definitely nonviolent, but even people who were more violent, like Nat Turner, in a way, Martin Luther King, in his speeches, kind of, like, humanized those stories. Even these acts that may have been violent or not necessarily, like, moral or agreed upon, he really took them and was like, but people are doing this out of necessity and people won't be forced to be violent if we just have equality. But Dr. Martin Luther King, he was a Baptist preacher, so he definitely preached that, like, there's no need for harm or violence toward other people in order to reach these things. But I do think that, like, he took a lot of inspiration from the people before him. I wanted to ask you all, do you think a speech like The March on Washington or We the People, kind of thinking about these unifying speeches, just thinking about, like, our world today, would something like that work to bring more people together? We talked about, like, how social media is kind of polarizing, or sometimes little things in school may cause people to get into arguments, but do you think a speech by someone pretty famous would help us be a little more united?
I feel like it definitely depends on the person and the reputation they have and also certainly what they're talking about. But if somebody, maybe like an African-American male or female, really got up and we talked about it, because there's still like racism and a lot of hate towards African-American people today, I feel like it would really raise awareness, but I don't think maybe as much as Martin Luther King, since there's more and he was really like a lot more known.
Also, I feel like you said, it depends who the person is. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was like a white person, male or female, you know, they're going to have their listeners, they're going to agree. But if it was an African-American person, I feel like people really won't pay attention as much because, like, oh, yeah, they're African-American. They still have the idea, like you said, the notion of racism is still deeply rooted in our country today. Like, the idea of, like, microaggressions and still other stuff like that. I feel like no matter how hard we try to get racism away, it's still going to be here because it's something that's taught.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like, yeah, like you said, it depends on the person, but I know there's other races trying to unite everyone together, not based on race, like your race. So I feel like speeches are a good thing for society today.
Yeah, they're a good thing. They're a good way to do that.
I agree completely. So I guess, do we think it might be helpful to have, like, maybe more than one person talking about what they think social justice and equality should look like? Because I agree with Rosé. Like, I feel like there is this notion of, like, well, this person's African-American. Some people will listen, some people won't. But even, like, if it's a white person, like, some people will listen and some people won't because, you know, people feel differently about the opinions. But do we think maybe it would be helpful to have multiple people? I'm like, I don't know. If the speeches work, who should give it? Like, is really the question. Who should be the one giving it if speeches are working?
I mean, probably somebody that's obviously very well-known so they can get their words out across to popular fan base, and maybe somebody who had past experiences that they can talk about it, like, truly. I think those people would really help to get the word across and really do something.
I also feel like we should, like, people who are really passionate about this should be able to talk about this. Just not, you don't have to be a celebrity X, Y, and Z. Anybody should be able to talk about this topic and get their thoughts across. But, you know, some people are going to twist them into be negative, but, you know, I just feel like students should be able to get their point across as well.
Yeah, I think that's really good. That's really good point you had there. And also, I really think that I don't really think anybody else will attract, like, thousands of people to one place. And then, like, Martin Luther King, since he was so well known and made like such a big impact.
250,000 attendance to the I Have a Dream speech, I believe it was.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I know.
We'll catch you on the next segment. So you guys will be listening to Freedom is a Constant Struggle by Jane Sapp.
The song you just heard was Buses Are Coming by Bernice Johnson Reagan. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, with Morgan, Persea, Waylon, and Archer. So in our last segment, we touched on just a little bit of brief history about the March on Washington speech, the I Have a Dream speech, and thinking about its impacts on people and the importance of giving speeches like that. But we're going to dive a little deeper into what those impacts are post-speech, what those impacts were post-speech in 1963, and how it's kind of impacted us up until today. So I think that the I Have a Dream speech did a great job of encouraging a lot more people to be outspoken about their viewpoints and encouraged a lot more people to join the civil rights movement, but also, even if they were silent before, really just take a stand because now they knew what the movement was about and who all it included.
I think it did a really good job at delivering that speech, and afterwards a lot of people were moved, school districts really changed a lot, and overall, obviously it wasn't like immediately just like that, but overall, over time, things beginning to change, protests started happening, however they were not violent and peaceful protests, which I think was a really strong point in their, you know, kind of like pathway to civil rights. I think that really did a good job paving the way.
I think that we've talked about the nonviolent approach really did help a lot of people get into the movement and help to humanize it for those who really couldn't or didn't feel like African Americans were equal. It really put everybody on equal footing and made it personal to a lot of people where they didn't feel personally connected to it beforehand. I did want to ask you all, do you think that MLK is someone that you or people in general, our generation, should look up to now that we're like 80 years removed from the speech and the experience? Is this something we should reflect on and think like, okay, this is someone we should be like?
Yes, I feel like he is the staple for Black history and the civil rights movement. So I feel like, guarantee, we should be looking up to him, learning about his history, just not like the surface, like his speeches, what he did for civil rights. Like, we should like be going more in depth about him and like more leaders as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really big part. I think sometimes on MLK Day, maybe we should also talk about the other people who are involved, not just, you know, Martin Luther King. He was a big involvement, but other people as well also paved the way for him to like really like take the final stand on it and really give those powerful speeches.
Most definitely.
And I also feel like we should also look at what happened to him since he was becoming like this important leader. The racism he experienced, like the bombings him and his family went through, stuff like that. So I feel like we should also be paying attention to that. Also, like, yes, we can look at his accomplishments, but also we need to be looking at that stuff as well.
I agree. I know Archer mentioned earlier how brave it must have felt to get up and give that speech, but like, you have to remember that Martin Luther King was like definitely a targeted person, and
a
he was
very,
so public.
Very targeted. Mm-hmm.
Very targeted.
He got killed like almost immediately after speech.
Exactly. Like, I think it was, what we said, like 5 years later. Like, he was very open about where he was and what he was doing, which, you know, is different today. But he was always kind of on the move and on the go because there was this constant fear that something might happen. But I think, in a way, putting himself in front of people and saying, like, I'm not afraid to stand up for what I believe in, even though it's so dangerous, it is really inspiring to see somebody just take so much risk for what they believe in.
Also, I feel like now in today's society, that the idea of fear, being able to speak out based on your race, I feel like that's really prominent in today's society because none like the past history, what happened against just not like Black people in general, like other races, they're scared to speak out because they know the consequence that's going to happen to them. So I feel like he also opened the door, the way for other people to speak out on what they feel is right and what's wrong. Just like with Malcolm X, like another leader, just like as Martin, like he wasn't afraid to speak out what was right or wrong. So
I have a question for you guys. Do you think that a person like Martin Luther King, anybody in the future, will ever have like that big of an impact on society like he did in the future?
There will probably be another war in which someone will probably happen. So yes.
Going back to your question, I feel like, I mean, yes and no. You can't replicate his success and what he did for history, but there's also people out there who's like fighting for history now. Like, our history can never be erased. So like the idea of like them erasing like history from, what was it, like textbooks, I think that can, our history can never be broken away.
A remarkable conversation in its own right, but consider four students, two 12th graders, two 7th graders that never met until the date of their hosting this hour of our streaming justice program, and also that for the most part were very new to this. Thank you to Prasaya Williams, a senior at Swickley Academy, Morgan McCray, also a senior at Oakland Catholic, Waylon Heikkinen, a 7th grader at Ingomar Middle School, and Archer Drips, a 7th grader at Quaker Valley Middle School. You can hear more of our teen-hosted talk segments by searching on Streaming Justice at slbradio.org/catalog. Dan Petridge is here. He is going to perform and share music with you in our next hour. Broadcasting live, is there really any other way, from historic Allegheny Square? Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and online live Saturday mornings 24/7 otherwise at slbradio.org/radio and other internet services listed there.
Something's wrong, honey, this I know. Never seen you this way before. Hey, baby, I wanna be your man. I can tell you need a friend. Step aside, won't you let me in? Hey, baby, who do you think I am? Don't like me hanging around, but there's no reason for it that I found. Hey, baby, please don't look so sad. When you're all alone and you need a hand, let me come into your house and be a handy man. Hey, baby, what about the fun we've had? It's late and it's about to pour. Your neighbor's tired. Control. Let me rock you with steady roll. It's cold.
baby, won't you come and keep me warm?
Together now.
I wanna be your
line. There it is. That's music there from Pokey Lafarge at the Saturday.